All right, good morning, everybody. See Maxine, Brother Allen, see y'all are watching. Good to see everybody this morning. Thank you for being with us. I hope everybody's doing well. This is our third Sunday of online-only services, and we still don't have a good idea of how long this thing is going to last, but however long it ends up lasting, we're going to make the best of it, okay? So we'll be delivering the CDs of this sermon and Wednesday night's Bible study to anybody that, for whatever reason, doesn't do Facebook. We want to just stay connected at the best that we can. And so we want to continue serving as a church. So if you have a need that the church might be able to help with, please contact me, Miss Barbara, Miss Carolyn. Good to see everybody this morning. If you have a need that the church might be able, hey, Miss Tanya, see you. If you have a need that the church might be able to help with, contact me, and we will certainly help in any way possible that we can. Hey, Miss Sandy and Sam, see y'all. We have multiple people that are ready and willing to go do grocery shopping for anybody that's worried about going out and getting exposed to the virus. So we can drop the groceries off at your door, and you'll never have to leave the house. So we would be glad to do that for you if that would help you. If there's some other way that we can help, we would be glad to do that as well. Hey, Miss Gayla and hey, Miss Tish, see y'all watching. I want to thank everybody just for tuning into this. There are literally thousands of different worship services streaming right now, and you could watch so many different ones. Hey, Tina, see you. You could watch any service that you wanted to, but you've chosen to worship with us this morning. We don't take that lightly. We don't take it for granted. We're glad that you're here with us. Even though we're separated physically, we're together in spirit. And so thank y'all so much for being here. See, Miss Denise, Charlene have tuned in. So it's so cool just to, as I'm sitting here talking, seeing people logging in and being a part of this worship service. So I'm excited about that. Thank y'all so much for being with us this morning. We're going to worship together in just a moment. Brother Robert's going to lead us as he always does. And before we do that, let's take a moment to pray together. Okay, if you will, bow your heads and let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, it is awesome to be in your house again, Father. And it is awesome that although we're separated through technology, we're still together this morning. So I'm thankful for our church family and different friends that are watching this morning. I pray, God, that you would bless this time that we have together. I pray, Lord, that as we worship, that no distractions would take our focus off of you, and that we would truly just worship you and not worry about, not think about anything else, God. Just help us to keep our minds fixed on you. I pray, God, that you'll bless the reading of your word and the teaching of your word. And I pray, God, that you would do what only you can do, and that you would give hope to the hopeless, that you would bring salvation to the lost, that you would bring peace in times of anxiety and worry. We just pray, God, that you, above all else, will be glorified today in everything that is said and thought and done. So, God, have your way during this service. We love you. And if you agree with that prayer, wherever you're at, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, Brother Robert.
Well, good morning, everybody. Glad to be here this morning. Can y'all see Kristen sitting here beside me? I'd like for the camera to be on her and off of me. I don't like to see me online so much. All right, she is going to assist today. So we're so glad to be here. You know, as the Lord's been working in my heart, Kristen's been talking about it, Pastor's been talking about revival in our own hearts. And I tell you what the Lord is showing me and teaching me is that I must come to the end of myself. Folks, you must come to the end of yourself. We look at this world and we look at all the situations that's going on right now. And there's been times in our lives when we thought we've kind of had our lives under control and that we've been handling things. I told Pastor a couple of weeks ago, we were talking, that I look back over my life, and when I thought that I had it under control and I was handling things, the Lord was toting me, carrying me then, and he is now. And when I get to the end of myself and realize that I cannot control things, then there's Jesus. And we want to sing about him, you know, because of him, a good-for-nothing sinner like me who has no hope and no way of going to heaven on my own. You too. But there's Jesus, and God the Father sent him, and he gave his life on a cross for us. And folks, we just hope and pray that we're all being revived, and that those that don't know the Lord right now, folks, think about it. When you run into somebody out here and they don't know the Lord, they might be hopeless. And they need to know him, and they need to see a smile on our face, and they need to see that Jesus, that we believe and that we know, we realize he's in control. I hush my talking. Let's sing. There's something, you know, when we go to singing about our Lord, there is something about that name. You all know the song. And Kristen, thank you for singing up here today. You're a lot better to look at than me, for sure.
Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master,
folks, that's song is so true. The longer I serve Him, the less there is of me. And the more that is there is of Him, the longer I serve Him, the sweeter that life is. And we just thank Him and praise Him. So, earlier, and you know, He knows the last minute of our life, and He's got that determined for each and every one of us, and we can trust Him, can't we? And that's amen, no doubt. But the question is, do we? Boy, I exalt Thee.
Exalted for our Lord.
most all of you know about the situation with the Hartley family, and it so breaks my heart, the pastor's heart. And I know it does everybody's heart for this situation that the Hartleys are going through. And I let's remember Dan and Kay Hartley, and you know, they've lost their son, and it is such so bad for them. And so let's pray for them, and let's go to the Lord now. Father, we thank you and we praise you. Lord, we exalt you, we lift you up. Lord, we have no hope except in you. And we thank you for that hope. And Lord, that you gave us a way to be with you, and that's through Jesus. None of us, Lord, are worthy of it. We all fall short. But because of Jesus, Lord, we can go to heaven and be with you. And Lord, I just pray that you'd help us as Christians, Lord, that as we go about our lives and we're pretty much shut in, but that, Lord, we'll let our little light shine wherever they might be able to be shone. That a world that is so worried and down, Lord, might be able to hear and know about you and to accept you as Lord and Savior. Lord, we pray for the Hartleys, Lord, in this grief that they're going through, Lord. Please be with them in a very special way, Lord, as they go through this time in their lives, and others, Lord, all over our nation and all over the world that have lost loved ones to different things. The tornado that went through Arkansas last night, Lord, we just pray for folks there. Lord, now, as Brother Grant comes to give us your word, Lord, we pray that you'd be with him in a very, very special manner and speak through him that you would have us to hear. Thank you again and praise you for who you are. Forgive us of our sins and errors in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Kristen.
All right. Thank you, Robert. Kristen, thank you for leading us worship, as you always do. Hold on. Don't go sit down yet. So I wish that this was went both ways to where we could see all of you like y'all can see us. But our family is missing our church family. And I've got Kristen that you just saw singing, and Drew and Miranda are here as well. I want to call them up. So y'all come up here real quick. Drew's super excited about this.
Hey!
Y'all just say hello.
Isn't that a great looking family?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
So we are, y'all don't have to leave. We're thinking about you, church. We love you. We're so blessed to be a part of this church family. And we just wanted to, we're still not getting out and going to many places. We're taking this quarantine seriously, but we did. I wanted the family just to say hello to y'all. And let you know that as a family, we're thinking and praying for you. And I know that Robert and Renee are as well. So,
amen.
So thankful for you, church. If you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to go ahead and open up with me to Genesis 37. Genesis 37. We've been looking the last several weeks at Jacob in particular. But the focus is going to shift today from Jacob to Joseph. We're going to spend a couple of weeks on Joseph's story, and that will kind of wrap up our sermon series on Genesis. Now, we'll take a break from Genesis in 2 weeks for Easter, and of course, we'll focus on the amazing love that Jesus Christ showed to all of us when he bore our sin on the cross. That's what we celebrate at Easter, and we will stop and pause from our sermon series to celebrate that, and then we'll finish up the next week after. So today we're going to be looking at the early parts of the story of Joseph that we find in Genesis 37 and 39. And our subject for today is trials. Life involves many different trials for everyone.
Amen.
There was one time that a doctor called a patient and he said, "I got bad news and I've got worse news." And the patient said, "Well, okay, well, let's have it." And the doctor said, "Well, the bad news is that you only have 24 hours to live." And the patient said, what in the world could be worse news than that? And the doctor said, well, I forgot to tell you the bad news yesterday. So, it's corny, I know. But hey, I like dad jokes. So, all right, so that's a silly example. But the truth is, no one is immune to trials, and no one can completely avoid trials.
Amen.
They're a reality for everyone. Some people have to face much more difficult trials than others. We don't know why that is. But we do know that God is in control and that he works all things together for our good.
Amen.
Now, for some of us, we won't be able to see that clearly until we're in the presence of the Lord in heaven. But until then, we have to trust the Lord. We have to have faith. Amen. So we talked last week about how Jacob's family was dysfunctional to an extreme level. So there was one husband, four wives, more than a dozen kids. There was some intense rivalry, and that made for dysfunction on a whole other level. Well, I'd like to tell you that the kids grew up and the situation improved immediately and everybody got along and loved one another, but that is just not what happened. We're going to see how the family drama continued as we read in just a moment. But before we do, let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, Lord, as now we turn our attention to your holy word, we just pray that you would give us the ability to hear from you and understand and to apply it to our lives, God. We believe that your word is alive and active, and it's good for us. It's profitable for us each and every time that we turn to it. God, give us a love and a hunger for your word that we've never had before. Teach us today. Draw us close to you. May you be glorified. May you be exalted above all things. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so we're going to begin in Genesis 37. Verse 1. All right, it says, Jacob lived in the land where his father had stayed, the land of Canaan. These are the family records of Jacob. At 17 years of age, Joseph tended sheep with his brothers. The young man was working with the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, his father's wives, and he brought a bad report about them to their father. Now, Israel loved Joseph more than his other sons, because Joseph was a son born to him in his old age, and he made a robe of many colors for him. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him, and they could not bring themselves to speak peaceably to him. So the sin of favoritism seems to be a generational thing with this family. I believe that there are some generational sins that different families have to deal with. If you remember, Isaac favored Esau and Rebekah favored Jacob. Well, then Jacob favored Rachel over Leah and his other wives. Well, here we see Jacob favoring Joseph over his other children. And all that did was stoke the flames of sibling rivalry even more. And we read here, the Bible says that the brothers hated Joseph. That's how they felt about him. They hated him. So we're going to be covering a lot of ground this morning. So I'm going to summarize certain sections of scripture as we go. All right. So verses 5 through 11, what this tells us is that Joseph tells his family about these dreams that he's had that were specifically good for him and not so good for everyone else. Both of these dreams involved his family bowing down to him. And as you can probably guess, the rest of the family wasn't real crazy about these dreams that Joseph told him about. They weren't real excited about hearing that they were all going to bow to Joseph. It tells us that the brothers hated Joseph even more. And in verse 11, it tells us that the brothers were jealous of him. So though Joseph was only 17 years old at the time, he seems to have been put into a supervisory role over his brothers by his father. He would go and give reports to his father about his brother's behavior while they were out in the fields tending the sheep. And so the famous coat of many colors that we've all heard about, we all learned about growing up as kids. If you went to church as a kid and you were in children's church, I almost guarantee you had a lesson on the coat of many colors. This coat was a symbol of prominence. It wasn't the type of garment that shepherds wore out in the fields. And so even this special coat distinguished Joseph from his brothers and caused them to resent him even more. Now, in verses 12 through 17, Joseph is again sent out to check on his brothers while they were out in the field. So I'm going to pick up now in verse 18. They saw him in the distance, and before he had reached them, they plotted to kill him. They said to one another, "Oh, look, here comes that dream expert. So now, come on, let's kill him and throw him into one of the pits. We can say that a vicious animal ate him. Then we'll see what becomes of his dreams." So we see a familiar pattern here that's just as true today as it was in biblical times. These feelings of hatred and jealousy grew and escalated into acts of violence toward their brother. You see, the Ten Commandments prohibited evil acts. But then Jesus came along later, and he would teach that evil thoughts and evil feelings were just as sinful as sinful actions. So you can find that in Matthew chapter 5, where Jesus teaches that whoever is angry with someone is subject to judgment, just like someone that has murdered someone. And then he teaches that anyone who looks at someone lustfully has already committed adultery in their hearts and is subject to judgment, just like an adulterer. So you see, because the brothers failed to deal with these negative feelings towards their brother, these feelings eventually escalated into an act of violence. Now, for us, it's so important for us to deal with thoughts and feelings that fall short of the glory of God, that fall short of God's standard, because those thoughts inevitably will lead to sinful actions if we don't take them to the Lord in confession and repentance. So back to chapter 37 now. We'll pick up in verse 23. When Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped off Joseph's robe, the robe of many colors that he had on. Then they took him and threw him into the pit. The pit was empty, without water. They sat down to eat a meal, and when they looked up, there was a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead. Their camels were carrying aromatic gum, balsam, and resin going down to Egypt. Judah said to his brothers, "What do we gain if we kill our brother and cover up his blood? Come on, let's sell him to the Ishmaelites and not lay a hand on him, for he's our brother, our own flesh." And his brothers agreed. When Midianite traders passed by, his brothers pulled Joseph out of the pit and sold him for 20 pieces of silver to the Ishmaelites, who took Joseph to Egypt. So all because of jealousy and hatred, Joseph is now on his way to Egypt as a slave. And his brother Reuben comes back and he looks for Joseph, because remember, he wanted to try to save Joseph's life. He looks for him in the hole and doesn't find him, so he panics, says, "What am I going to do?" So we return to scripture, verse 31. So they took Joseph's robe, slaughtered a male goat, and dipped the robe in its blood. They sent the robe of many colors to their father and said, "We found this. Examine it. Is it your son's robe or not?" His father recognized it. "It is my son's robe," he said. "A vicious animal devoured him. Joseph has been torn to pieces." Then Jacob tore his clothes, but put sackcloth around his waist and mourned for his son many days. All his sons and daughters tried to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. "No," he said, "I'll go down to Sheol to my son mourning." And his father wept for him. Meanwhile, the Midianites sold Joseph in Egypt to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh and the captain of the guards. So now that the brothers have betrayed Joseph, next they have to deceive their father into thinking that his favorite son is dead. The very same brothers that sold him into slavery are now consoling their father. So Joseph ends up working for Potiphar, the captain of the guard for Pharaoh. Now, in between chapter 37 and chapter 39, we find chapter 38, and it deals with Judah, the brother of Joseph. He goes off and starts his own family, and this deals with Judah and his daughter-in-law, Tamar. but it doesn't pertain particularly to the overall story of Joseph. So we're going to pass by chapter 38, and we're going to pick back up with verse 1 in chapter 39. So moving to chapter 39, starting in verse 1. It says, "Now Joseph had been taken to Egypt. An Egyptian named Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh and captain of the guards, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had brought him there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man, serving in the household of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made everything he did successful, Joseph found favor with his master and became his personal attendant. Potiphar also put him in charge of his household and placed all that he owned under his authority. From the time that he put him in charge of his household and of all that he owned, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house because of Joseph. The Lord's blessing was on all that he owned, in his house and in his fields. He left all that he owned under Joseph's authority. He did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate." God had not abandoned Joseph in spite of the difficult situation that he was in. God was with him every step of the way.
Amen.
But Joseph's trouble was far from over. In verses 7 through 15, Potiphar's wife unsuccessfully tries to seduce Joseph, but he maintains his integrity. He refuses her advances. And eventually, she accuses him of trying to sexually assault her, and Potiphar has him thrown in prison. So let's finish chapter 39 now. We're going to pick up with verse 21 and read to 23. It says, "But the Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness to him. He granted him favor with the prison warden. The warden put all the prisoners who were in the prison under Joseph's authority, and he was responsible for everything that was done there. The warden did not bother with anything under Joseph's authority because the Lord was with him, and the Lord made everything that he did successful." All right, now that we've covered the first part of Joseph's story, let's see what takeaways we can find that can help us when we deal with the trials of life. Are you ready? At home, if you're ready, say, "I'm ready."
Ready.
Y'all ready? All right, let's do it. Okay, here's the first takeaway. Life is not about what we attain. Life is not about what we accomplish, but about who we become along the way.
Amen.
What do you think was going through Joseph's mind as he was being carried away to become a slave in Egypt? Do you think he might have thought back to those dreams that he had had about others bowing to him, and maybe he wondered, hey, what the heck is going on? He probably felt betrayed. He probably felt humiliated. He probably felt like a complete failure, but his story wasn't over. So there's a couple of things that come to mind that could come about when we live a life focused on the destination, focused on the end goal, and we miss the importance of enjoying the journey along the way. For one, if we reach that end goal and that's been our only focus, we might find that we're let down because we don't have anything to chase anymore. If our whole life has been about reaching this one particular end goal, when we reach it, we may find that we're disappointed. We're let down. We've got nothing to work towards. What's left to accomplish once you reach the only thing you've ever focused on and pursued? Another potential problem that could arise is that when a person is only focused on the end goal, it's very easy to develop an any means necessary type approach to get what we want. When we have that type of mentality, it's a lot harder to maintain our integrity and to keep God first in our lives. So that's why it's so important for us to enjoy the journey to wherever God has taken us and understand that the peaks and the valleys both serve to make us into the men and women that God created us to be.
Amen.
God's primary concern with Joseph at this point in his life is not where he was, it's not what he's doing, but who he was becoming. Even though it wasn't clear to Joseph yet, God was using these circumstances to prepare Joseph for the future. And God does that for you and I as well. He allows us to go through hard times, difficult circumstances, and these prepare us for the future. Now, it doesn't make sense to us at the time, and we don't enjoy the hard times, but if we will trust God and have faith in God like Joseph did, we will eventually see that God is using everything that we experience to help us grow into men and women of God.
Amen.
So that leads us to the second takeaway from Genesis 37 and 39. We must trust God's heart when we can't see his hand. We got to trust God's heart when we can't see his hand. Joseph was taken away from his home. He was carried to a foreign land. Now he's immersed in a culture he doesn't understand. He's hearing languages he doesn't understand. He's forced to work as a slave for Potiphar. Do you think maybe Joseph ever felt like God had abandoned him? Do you think Joseph ever looked up towards heaven and screamed, "Where are you, God?" I bet that he did. But here's the remarkable thing about Joseph. He remained faithful to God through all of this. And things begin to look a little better for a while for Joseph. And then Potiphar's wife lies about him, and he finds himself in prison. Again, I just have to believe that he said, "Where are you, God?" The Bible tells us that Joseph was a handsome young man. He'd been betrayed by his brothers, sold into slavery in a foreign land, and now here's this woman throwing herself at him, and yet he maintains his integrity and he refuses her advances. Now, how is it that Joseph was able to resist that temptation that so many men and women are unable to resist? See, sex is such a powerful temptation to so many, whether through pornography or adultery, and both of those things have ruined so many lives, so many marriages, so many relationships. How did Joseph avoid a trap that has caught so many before and after him? Joseph trusted God. Y'all say that with me. Joseph trusted God. He couldn't see God's hand at work around him just yet, but he trusted God's heart. I read about a conversation between a man named John Kavanaugh and Mother Teresa. Kavanaugh was in Calcutta serving the poor when he had this talk with Mother Teresa. He was trying to figure out whether he should stay living abroad serving the poor or whether he should take a position that had been offered to him as a professor at a university in America. So he asked Mother Teresa to pray for him. And Mother Teresa said, "For what?" And so Kavanaugh said, "Well, pray for that I'll have clarity on what I should do." And her immediate response surprised him. She said, "No, I won't pray for that." And so he told her, "Well, I've always assumed that you always have clarity and you always know exactly what God wants you to do, Mother Teresa." And she said, "I've never had clarity and I've never been certain. All I have is trust. So I'll pray that you'll trust."
Amen.
See, we are definitely in uncertain times right now. It's hard to tell if things are getting better or worse. It's hard to tell how long this situation is going to last. And in the midst of this quarantine thing that we're all dealing with, life just keeps going on. People are still dealing with the loss of loved ones. Some are still battling cancer. Some are trying to make things work financially during this time. And sometimes, you know, we just want answers. We just want the comfort of knowing how things are going to turn out and knowing when things are going to get better. But many times we don't get those answers that we seek.
Amen.
We have to live in the uncertainty without the answers. And in that moment, that is when we absolutely have to trust God's heart when we can't see his hand. Amen, Amen, church. Okay, the final takeaway I want to share with us this morning is this. Faith is a continuous journey. It's not a one-time experience. Joseph could have given up when things didn't get better, but instead they got worse. But he didn't give up on God. He continued to trust him. That doesn't mean Joseph never had doubts. That doesn't mean that you and I will never have questions or doubts. In Mark chapter 9, a father brings his son who was demon-possessed to the disciples, and he asked them to cast the demons out, but the disciples couldn't do it. So they bring the boy to Jesus, and the father says, "But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus says, "If you can, everything is possible for the one who believes." And immediately the father of the boy cries out, "I do believe. Help my unbelief." Amen. Sometimes we need to be honest, just like that father, and cry out to God, "Lord, help us in our unbelief." See, faith in God is not a one-time decision that we make and then we never use again. It's continuous. Life causes us to use that faith over and over because trials are always with us. Even the person that comes to your mind when you think of who somebody that has the easiest, most trouble-free life, even that person is going to face their fair share of trials and temptations. Everyone has to walk through those valleys of darkness from time to time. So each and every day, we have to choose to have faith in the Lord. And when it doesn't come to us easily, we got to cry out to God to do for us and in us what we're unable to do ourselves.
Amen.
Lord, help me with my unbelief. Give me the faith that I need to walk through this valley.
Amen.
So I shared a verse during our Wednesday night Bible study that I want to share again as we close. In Matthew chapter 5, we read in verse 45 that God causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. The truth about life is that hard times happen to everyone, whether they trust Jesus as Lord or whether they reject him. But I honestly cannot imagine facing the trials of life without the comforting presence of God and without the assurance that a better day is coming.
Amen.
The only way to have the comfort that I'm talking about, the only way to experience that presence, is to confess and repent of our sins and accept Jesus as our Savior and our Lord. The Bible tells us there's no other name under heaven given to people by which we must be saved. Only Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, there's something about that name. If you're watching this service today, I want to invite you to make the same decision that I made as a little boy many years ago. Stop trusting in yourself. Stop putting your trust in worldly things and put your trust fully in the one that loves you like no other. The one who died for you, who died for me, who died for all, Jesus Christ, the one and only Son of God. If you want to do that, right where you're at, pray something like this. You don't have to pray the words I'm praying, but something like this. You just talk to God and be honest from your heart. So it might sound something like this. Heavenly Father, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that my sin separates me from you. But God, I know that you love me. You love me so much that you sent Jesus to die and take my place, to pay the price for my sin. And through Jesus, through that name, I can have salvation in you. Lord, save me from my sin. Be not only my Savior, but be the Lord of my life. I submit myself fully to you, Lord. I love you. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Now, if you prayed something like that, then you just accepted Jesus not only as your Savior, but as your Lord. And if you prayed that, I want to ask you to reach out to me. You can call or text me on my cell phone, 205-587-0303. You say, "Why do you want me to contact you?" Well, first of all, I want to celebrate the decision that you've made. I want to pray with you, and I want to give you some next steps to go on as a new believer. All right, so for everybody else, if you're watching and you've already been a Christian for a long time or for however long, I pray that these words are encouraging to you. I pray that as we walk down this road that none of us have ever been on, dealing with this quarantine, dealing with the coronavirus, I pray that you'll be encouraged that God is in control. Just like Joseph couldn't see it when all these crazy things were happening to him, as we continue in the next couple of weeks reading about Joseph, we're going to see God's in control the whole time. No matter what we're facing, God is in control. So church, hang on to that. Trust him and just keep the faith. I love y'all so much. Thank you for watching, for tuning in this morning. Again, if there's anything that we can do as a church to serve you, just let me know, and I would love to help in any way that I can. Any prayer requests, please let us know what those are, and we will we promise to covenant with you in prayer over those things. Love y'all. Hope you have a blessed day. Hope to see you Wednesday, and y'all take care. God bless.